letter to his dear heart from York during the winter of 1677 shows that he still had some power of endurance left. Dear heart, to whom is my love, and to thy daughters, and to all friends that inquire after me? My desires are that ye all may be preserved in the Lord's everlasting seed, in whom ye will have life and peace, dominion and settlement, in the everlasting home, or dwelling in the house built upon the foundation of God. In the power of the Lord I am brought to York, having had many meetings in the way. The road was many times steep and bad with snow. Our horses sometimes were down, and we were not able to ride. And sometimes we had great storms and rain, but by the power of the Lord I went through all. At Scarhouse there was a very large meeting, and at Burrowby another, to which friends came out of Cleveland and Durham, and many other meetings we have had. At York yesterday we had a very large meeting, exceedingly thronged, friends being at it from many parts, and all quiet and well satisfied. Oh, the glory of the Lord that shone over all. This day we have had a large men's and women's meeting, many friends, both men and women, being come out of the country, and all was quiet. This evening we are to have the men's and women's meetings of the friends of the city. John Whitehead is here with Robert Lodge and others. Friends are mighty glad above measure. So I am in my holy element and holy work in the Lord. Glory to his name forever. Tomorrow I intend to go out of the city towards Tadcaster, though I cannot ride as in days past. Yet praise be the Lord that I can travel as well as I do. So with my love in the fountain of life, in which, as ye all abide, ye will have refreshment of life, that by it we may grow and gather eternal strength to serve the Lord and be satisfied, to the God of all power, who is all sufficient to preserve you, I commit you all. G.F. York, the 16th of the second month, April, 1677. After much service in several counties, he returns to London, and the journal proceeds. It pleased the Lord to bring me safe to London, though much wearied, for though I rode not very far in a day, yet, through weakness of body, continual traveling was hard to me. Besides, I had not much rest at night to refresh nature, for I often sat up late with friends where I lodged, to inform and advise them in things wherein they were wanting. And when in bed, I was often hindered of sleep by great pains in my head and teeth, occasioned, as I thought, from cold taken by riding often in the rain. But the Lord's power was over all and carried me through all to his praise. To the London yearly meeting, many friends came from most parts of the nation, and some out of Scotland, Holland, etc. Footnote 232. This was 1677. Very glorious meetings we had, wherein the Lord's powerful presence was very largely felt, and the affairs of truth were sweetly carried on in the unity of the Spirit, to the satisfaction and comfort of the upright-hearted. Blessed be the Lord forever. After the yearly meeting, having stayed a week or two with friends in London, I went down with William Penn to his house in Sussex, John Burneet and some other friends being with us. Footnote 233. The house in Sussex was Worminghurst. As we passed through Surrey, hearing the quarterly meeting was that day, William Penn, John Burneet, and I went from the road to it, and after the meeting, returning to our other company, went with them to William Penn's that night, which is 40 miles from London. I stayed at Worminghurst about 3 weeks, in which time John Burney and I answered a very envious and wicked book, which Roger Williams, a priest of New England, or some colony thereabouts, had written against truth and friends. Footnote 234. Fox did not see Roger Williams in Providence, though the latter had a personal tilt with John Burneet at Newport in 1671. after George Fox had left Providence and had gone back down the bay with his companion, Nicholas Easton, governor of Rhode Island, Roger Williams rode to Newport with a challenge to a debate. Fox, however, had already left the island and was well on his way toward Long Island. Williams then wrote what Fox elsewhere calls Roger Williams' Book of Lies, that's spelled L-Y-E-S, a book bearing the grimly humorous title George Fox Digged Out of His Burrows, Boston, 1676. See Publications of the Narragansett Club, Volume 5, pages 20-25, Providence, 1872. Fox and Burney replied to this slanderous book in a 65-page pamphlet entitled A New England Firebrand Quenched. Fox seemed not to know just where the famous apostle of soul liberty lived, as he said, a priest of New England or some colony thereabouts. When we had finished that service, we went with Stephen Smith to his house at Warpledon in Surrey, where we had a large meeting. Friends thereaway had been exceedingly plundered about 2 months before on the priest's account, for they took from Stephen Smith 5 kine, being all he had, for about 50 shillings tithes. That's kine, K-I-N-E. Thence we went to Kingston, and so to London, where I stayed not long, for it was upon me from the Lord to go into Holland to visit friends and to preach the gospel there and in some parts of Germany. Wherefore, setting things in order for my journey as fast as I could, I took leave of friends at London, and with several other friends went down to Gloucester in order to my passage for Holland. Next day being first day, I was at the public meeting of friends there, which was very large and peaceable. In the evening I had another large one, but not so public, at John Furley's house, where I lodged. The day following I was at the women's meeting there, which also was very large. Thence next day we passed to Harwich, where Robert Duncan and several other friends out of the country came to see us, and some from London came to us there that intended to go over with me. The packet in which we were to go not being ready, we went to the meeting in the town, and a precious opportunity we had together. For the Lord, according to his wonted goodness, by his overcoming, refreshing power, opened many mouths to declare his everlasting truth, to praise and glorify him. After the meeting at Harwich, we returned to John Vanderwall's, where I had lodged. And when the boat was ready, taking leave of friends, we that were bound for Holland went on board about 9 in the evening, on the 25th of the 5th month, 1677. The friends that went over with me were William Penn, Robert Barclay, George Keith and his wife, John Furley and his brother, William Tallcoat, George Watts, and Isabel Yeomans, one of my wife's daughters. About 1 in the morning we weighed anchor, having a fair brisk wind, which by next morning brought us within sight of Holland. But that day, proving very clear and calm, we got forward little, till about 4 in the afternoon, when a fresh gale arose which carried us within a league of land. Then, being becalmed again, we cast anchor for that night, it being between the hours of 9 and 10 in the evening. William Penn and Robert Barclay, understanding that Benjamin Furley was come from Rotterdam to the Briel to meet us, got 2 of the boatmen to let down a small boat that belonged to the packet and row them to shore. But before they could reach it, the gates were shut, and there being no house without the gates, they lay in a fisherman's boat all night. As soon as the gates were opened in the morning, they went in and found Benjamin Furley with other friends of Rotterdam that were come thither to receive us, and they sent a boat with 3 young men in it that lived with Benjamin Furley, who brought us to the Briel, where the friends received us with great gladness. We stayed about 2 hours to refresh ourselves and then took boat with the Holland friends for Rotterdam, where we arrived about 11 that day, the 28th of the month. I was very well this voyage, but some of the friends were seasick. A fine passage we had, and all came safe and well to land. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord forever. Next day, being first day, we had two meetings at Benjamin Furley's, where many of the townspeople and some officers came in, and all were civil. Benjamin Furley, or John Claus, a friend of Amsterdam, interpreted, when any friend declared. I spent the next day in visiting friends there. The day following, William Penn and I, with other friends, went towards Amsterdam with some friends of that city, who came to Rotterdam to conduct us thither. We took boat in the afternoon, and passing by Overkirk, came to Delft, through which we walked on foot. We then took boat again to Leiden, where we lodged that night at an inn. This is 6 Dutch miles from Rotterdam, which are 18 English miles, and 5 hours sail or traveling, for our boat was drawn by a horse that went on the shore. Next day, taking boat again, we went to Haarlem, 14 miles from Leiden, where we had appointed a meeting, which proved very large, for many of the townspeople came in and 2 of their preachers. The Lord gave us a blessed opportunity, not only with respect to friends, but to other sober people, and the meeting ended peaceably and well. After it, we passed to Amsterdam. After a conference, the following meetings were established or settled. A monthly, a quarterly, and a yearly meeting to be held at Amsterdam for friends in all the United Provinces of Holland and in Emden, the Palatinate, Hamburg, Frederikstadt, Danzig, and other places in and about Germany, which friends were glad of, and it has been of great service to truth. One of the most interesting episodes of this journey was the visit paid by George Keith's wife and Fox's stepdaughter, Isabel Yeomans, to the Princess Elizabeth, to whom Fox sent a personal letter. Princess Elizabeth was the daughter of the unfortunate Frederick, Elector Palatine, and granddaughter of James I of England. She was a woman of great spiritual gifts and of considerable intellectual power. She was the friend and correspondent of the philosopher Descartes. She had, previous to this visit, made the acquaintance, which developed into close friendship, of William Penn and Robert Barclay. She frequently used her influence upon her uncle, King Charles, and her brother, Prince Rupert, to secure the release of friends from the prisons of England and Scotland. Her answer to George Fox's letter is as follows. Dear friend, I cannot but have a tender love to those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom it is given not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Therefore, your letter and your friend's visit have been both very welcome to me. I shall follow their and your counsel as far as God will afford me light and unction, remaining still your loving friend, Elizabeth. Hertford, Westphalia, the 30th of August, 1677. Twice we get glimpses of the great world movements which just then had these low countries for their stage. In the great struggle with Louis XIV, the dikes had been cut, and much of the country was under water. Here is an experience in East Friesland. One of the magistrates of that city, Groningen, came with us from Leeuwarden, with whom I had some discourse on the way, and he was very loving. We walked nearly 2 miles through the city, and then took boat for Delfzijl. And passing in that evening through a town called Appingedam, where had been a great horse fair that day, there came many officers rushing into the boat, and being somewhat in drink, they were very rude. I spoke to them, exhorting them to fear the Lord and beware of Solomon's vanities. They were boisterous fellows, yet somewhat more civil afterwards. The other circumstance which connects Fox here with history is his epistle written to the peace ambassadors in the city of Nimeguen. The entry in the journal says, I wrote an epistle to the ambassadors who were treating for a peace at Nimeguen. This is dated Amsterdam, the 21st of 7th month, September, 1677. It concludes with these words. From him who is a lover of truth, righteousness, and peace, who desires your temporal and eternal good, and that in the wisdom of God that is from above, pure, gentle, and peaceable, you may be ordered and order all things that God hath committed to you, to his glory, and stop those things among Christians, so far as you have power, which dishonor God, Christ, and Christianity. G.F. Here is an incident of travel in Germany. Being clear of Hamburg, we took leave of friends there, whom we left well, and taking John Hill with us, passed by boat to a city in the Duke of Lunenburg's country, where, after we were examined by the guards, we were taken to the main guard, and there examined more strictly. But after they found we were not soldiers, they were civil and let us pass. In the afternoon, we traveled by wagon, and the waters being much out, by reason of heavy rains, when it drew toward night, we hired a boy on the way to guide us through a great water we had to pass. When we came to it, the water was so deep, before we could come at the bridge, that the wagoner had to wade, and I drove the wagon. When we were come on the bridge, the horses broke part of it down, and one of them fell into the water, the wagon standing upon that part of the bridge which remained unbroken. And it was the Lord's mercy to us that the wagon did not run into the brook. When they had got the horse out, he lay a while as if dead. But at length they got him up, put him to the wagon again, and laid the planks right. And then, through the goodness of the Lord to us, we got safe over. After this, we came to another water, finding it to be very deep, and it being in the night, we hired two men to help us through, who put cords to the wagon to hold it by, that the force of the water might not drive it from the way. But when we came into it, the stream was so strong that it took one of the horses off his legs and was carrying him down the stream. I called to the wagoner to pluck him to him by his reins, which he did, and the horse recovered his legs, and with much difficulty we got over the bridge and went through Bremerhaven, the town where the wagoner lived. It was the last day of the 6th month that we escaped these dangers, and it being about 11 at night when we came in here, we got some fresh straw and lay upon it until 4 in the morning. Then getting up, we set forward again towards Bremen by wagon and boat. On the way, I had good opportunities to publish truth among the people, especially at a market town where we stayed to change our passage. Here I declared the truth to the people, warning them of the day of the Lord that was coming upon all flesh, and exhorting them to righteousness, telling them that God was come to teach his people himself, and that they should turn to the Lord and hearken to the teachings of his Spirit in their own hearts. While the work was going forward in these fresh fields, trouble was increasing at home, as this brief letter shows. Next day, feeling a concern upon my mind with relation to those seducing spirits that made division among friends, and being sensible that they endeavored to insinuate themselves into the affectionate part, I was moved to write a few lines to friends concerning them as follows. All these that set up themselves in the affections of the people, set up themselves and the affections of the people, and not Christ. But, friends, your peaceable habitation in the truth, which is everlasting and changes not, will outlast all the habitations of those that are out of the truth, be they ever so full of words. So they that are so keen for